Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, YouTube, you know the deal. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm going to turn the camera around. And there she is. You love seeing her. Everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
You didn't blow a kiss this time.
I'll blow a kiss.
Okay. Because I thought that was like your new thing.
No, I was just doing it before because I was showing off the red lips.
Yes. Well, they're very impressive.
Thank you.
And so we got another show with new people. People
it's
that
exciting.
Have not been on the show before. Somebody that's a good friend of yours.
Yes.
And somebody that is new to you, but I think will be definitely a friend.
Oh, I hope so.
And our first guest here, and I'm going to turn the camera around and get him. He is another Hollywood hyphenate. We've got two Hollywood hyphenates. Between the hyphens, I don't know if there's going to be room for the rest of the show, but he is an actor, filmmaker, producer, director, and caricature artist.
Musician,
all sorts of things. Musician,
comedian, you know, all that good stuff.
When did you do stand-up comedy?
I did stand-up comedy a little bit at the Improv, and you're not here in L.A., but, you know, other places.
Okay.
I'm trying to get back into the groove. You
please,
know.
Please don't. But anyway, here he is.
Maybe not.
Here he is, the film, the director, writer, director of Fake It Till You Make It.
Mm-hmm. Fatumi for short.
Fatumi for short. Andrew P.C. Yevich.
Greetings.
Yes, I only.
I'll blow a kiss too.
I'm sure everybody's going to be very excited about
I
know, that.
I hope so. It's not as good as Miss Six over here.
I'm sure. So you're laying on the charm very early. So before we get started, I do have to say that we are being sponsored by Raise Energy Drink. There it is. Mm. Raise Energy Drink. I'm drinking it straight, so to speak. And Nicole is mixing hers with vodka, which it mixes well. This is the new juice box flavor, which is very juicy, very tasty.
Delicious.
Delicious. One of their wonderful, great flavors.
Mind if I try a little flavor, a little taste of that?
Yeah, you can have some of mine.
Yeah, I'll try it. I want to see.
Oh, my God. He's going to drink it out of the can.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't personally take it in the can, but you might get
cooties, so we'll see what happens.
It's very good.
Yes.
I have to say, it's very, very tasty.
And the best part about it, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash.
Very, very good.
And if, you know, they don't have it at 7-Elevens or grocery stores. They have it at GNCs and vitamin shops. And I know you're a big weightlifter, so you go to those places.
Sometimes, yes.
Well, so, I mean, you're not lately, but I understand. Yeah. So, but don't play full price. Go to the description in the podcast, wherever you're listening to us on podcasts, or on YouTube, and you'll get a link. 15% off a case of Raise Energy Drink. You can get Juice Box. You can get the new Ginger Ale. You can get all sorts of great flavors. Baja Lime, that tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Juice Box is great.
Yes. So, Andrew, first question, what does the PC stand for? Because you are definitely not PC.
I know. No, you know, that's... That's a nickname a friend of mine gave me a long time ago. She said I like to show off, so I was like a peacock, PC, peacock. That's what it really is.
You realize peacock's one word.
Yeah, but
it's not two words.
She made it up. I didn't, and I just rolled with it, and it sounded good. So
right. So yeah. That's what PC stands
that's
for?
That's what PC stands for.
Because you have written and directed a very un-PC movie. That's the irony.
Yeah, well, it's kind of got that double entendre kind of thing going on. You know, it's like so not PC that it's, you know.
PC.
PC.
Okay.
Yes.
It's so offensive that it's come out the other side in its PC.
Something like that.
Ah, got it.
I wouldn't call it offensive. I mean, it's risk for Los Angeles woke, it's kind of offensive, but it's like for like the East Coast and Jersey, it's kind of like a little, you know, it's kind of like laid back and calm.
You realize that was a joke.
Yeah, I realize
that. Yeah, okay. So, and second question I have, and I'm going to direct this to Nicole.
Yes.
How did you meet Andrew? Because you guys have been friends forever. I met Andrew through you.
I met Andrew on Facebook, and then I gave him a tarot reading, which helped inspire the whole movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, is that your recollection, Andrew?
The first scene of the movie is actually a tarot card reading based on the tarot card reading she gave me. It was our original meeting was in the W Hotel in Hollywood.
Okay.
And
so you were stalking Nicole on Facebook.
No.
I don't think it was exactly like that.
He told
that.
Me he was moving out here or something along those lines.
Okay,
wanted,
you were back east at
she,
the time.
I was back east. She came up in my suggested friends, and I think there were a couple mutual ones on there. And, you know, and Los Angeles came up. I didn't know anyone except for
Adam,
the other guy who was in my movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was another East Coast guy.
Right.
And, yeah, so I connected with Nicole, and
And I told him at the time I wasn't meeting anybody in person. I was always trying to screen people. So I said we can meet for a tarot reading so I could see what sort of person he was.
And he could pay you.
Well, I was only $20.
he could still pay you. Did you buy drinks to him?
He did buy drinks.
I did buy drinks.
He was a gentleman.
He is a gentleman.
This is funny. My friend Luis shows up because Luis is going to take me out somewhere afterwards, and he thought I was a hooker and that was my pimp.
I did.
You said that. You said you thought I was like some sort of high escort.
I didn't know what was going on. Yeah, it was kind of a little strange. It was like this, you know, this Spanish guy sitting in the background with an ominous look, like, you know, kind of like, better not get out of line, you know. So I was on really good behavior, you know.
You don't want to mess with Nicole's pimp.
No, I don't mess with Nicole's pimp. Mr. Jim Morrison, you know.
Jim Morrison? Yeah, I met Luis. He's no Jim Morrison.
That was his Facebook moniker.
At the time, Jim Morrison.
Really?
Yeah. That's why he grows his hair out that length. He's trying to look like...
wants to look like Jim Morrison. Kind of like Jim Morrison and Eric Estrada had a kid.
I don't want to bag on Luis for the rest of the show. I'm sure that can happen.
That even Luis would say it makes him look sexy. He'd take it with stride.
You think it makes him look sexy?
I always tell him he is... He accused me of saying he looks like a horse. I think that he has got a very, very nice indigenous appeal, and he does very well with the ladies.
So that's a no. Anyway, Andrew, what I find out now,
yes.
I thought you were from New Jersey. I thought you were from Wildwood, New Jersey, because everything I had heard about it.
Yep.
And I know Wildwood. I went to a wedding in Wildwood.
Okay.
That's like Sopranos country. But you were born in Connecticut.
No, I was born in Manhattan.
You were born in Manhattan. Okay, but you grew up in Connecticut.
I grew up in Connecticut, but I've been going to Wildwood, New Jersey summers ever since I was a little kid.
Ah.
So, and then I started living there year-round when I was in, like, high school.
Okay.
I had a weird upbringing. My parents used to stay in Wildwood through, like November.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go up, and I would switch schools in New York and go back to New York. I was a new kid every year in two places.
Right, for like I was
3 years.
Way.
It was really strange, yeah. And they always had a big celebration. We have a new kid, and they're like, we know him already, you know. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So, so that's the story. I mean, so I've had a real connection all my life to Wildwood, New Jersey and Cape May County.
Mm-hmm.
And I have real connections to Sherman, Connecticut, which is where I lived when I was, which Sherman's a very small town, but.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to, the small town in Connecticut.
Very small town in Connecticut. And I was there from the time I was 8 till like mid high school. And then I recently, like 2006, bought my old childhood home back. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. And yeah. I didn't know this, but you were a caricaturist.
I was a caricaturist. That was my first job. I started on the boardwalk with time. I was about 12 years old. I was doing it through my my mid-30s, I do, even early 40s.
I'd still do it if I were you. I mean, I can make it, you know, I can use any hustle I can.
Well, you know, it's not what it used to be. And you know,
Andrew's very talented, though. Like, his art is either very realistic or whatever he wants it to be. Like, I saw he made a really beautiful thing for his girlfriend for Christmas, and it was so good she accused him of photoshopping it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Okay. Did you photoshop it?
No. It's a hand-drawn pastel.
Oh,
so
okay.
I did high-end pastel portraits for a lot of years, too, and that was one of my jobs along the years. Yep.
But I didn't know you had this artistic flair. I was going to actually bring a pen and paper so I have you do caricatures of Nicole and Vanya, but
because
our other guest who's coming is very super funny stand-up comedian, but I did not do that.
That's
I didn't want to put you on
I didn't
spot.
Want to be put on the spot. Yeah.
Right. That's like, you know, everywhere I go, tell me a joke. And I'm sure they try to get you to write stuff and all of that.
That actually does happen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The best thing I always hear is, you should write a story about me. That's what everybody says. Don't say that to a writer.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is a recurring thing in 2023 is the increasing narcissism of the world.
Yeah.
You should make a movie about me. They told me that, you know.
Right,
right.
And you did. You made a movie about yourself.
But I'm not going to make a movie about
them. That's exactly it. They should make a movie about themselves.
Right. Like, if I made the movie about me
because
I was important to me. But if they want to make a movie about them, let them do it. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, your Macho Man Randy.
Well, you did come up with a very good idea for. You might not want to talk about this on air, but you came up with a very good idea.
But you're going to bring it up.
Yeah. Well, he came up with a very good idea for a telling of a true crime story.
Well, okay, yes, that's true. It's the working title I have is called The Safe Plan,
mm-hmm.
and it was about a safe robbery and a murder that occurred in Cape May County, New Jersey, back in the mid '80s.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you commit it?
No, unfortunately, I didn't, you know, have anything to do with it.
I was going to say, who better to write the story?
Well, I interviewed most of the principals involved, and I was really surprised at how like eager they were to talk about it. A lot of them were like, you know, had buried the story for a long time. But I said, you know, I'm a movie maker in Hollywood now, you know, I'd like to hear your story. I always thought it was a fascinating story. It was always the thing of like local legends were based on. There was money that was buried underwater that was left over from this robbery, and you know, and supposedly it's still there, but you know, we don't know.
Right. Well, I thought that's how you got your money, but
I wish.
It's funny because like even murder victims are narcissists now. Everybody wants everybody. Me. I want the spotlight on me. And I'm saying this while I'm talking on my podcast. But
I'm murdered. I'm dead. I want the attention on me.
Right.
It's like, so, I mean, all you can do is talk about yourself.
I mean, but everybody's into true crime. So I think
that everybody's really into true crime right now.
Especially women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that, Nicole?
I don't know. I'm actually not really like, I think this sounds like an interesting story, but I'm not a huge true crime fan. My friend Jesse Hughes from Eagles of Death Metal, whenever I'd go over to his house, always
humble brag.
Depends who you ask.
And by the way, somebody who has never been on the show, but thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I don't even know if I have his number still, but I used to hang out at his house.
Right.
And he would always have true crime on. Like he watched true crime all the time. True crime or Adult Swim.
Right. Right. Well, that I mean, but that makes sense. When I look
there
at,
was this one
when
last
I look
time,
at Jesse Hughes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He looks like the kind of guy. He actually honestly looks like the kind of guy that would commit a murder, quite frankly. He's a great musician, but he just has that. He's got the porn mustache and the whole thing. So
they could have him as an archetype to get good acting roles doing that.
Oh, I'm sure he could. I'm sure he has.
Yeah. I don't know. He just really liked it. But when you're asking about women, I've noticed that women listen to true crime
women
podcasts.
Love it. Everybody I know.
I see memes about it all the time. Women are always posting in their social media when I'm following them about memes about how it's like their happy place or where they go.
A lot of women
coming.
Are like actually attracted to criminals. Like, you remember like Ted Bundy and then Richard Ramirez? Like they had like groupies. Like,
Nicole Sachs.
They were like, slicing women up and they had groupies in the audience at the trials that,
oh yeah,
know,
oh
trial.
Sure, I mean,
crazy.
You know, I mean, Charles Manson's hot. What are you gonna say?
You know, well,
I mean, we had our friend Dakota the Bearded Lady on, and she has a true crime podcast, and we asked her who was the hottest serial killer, and
what was her answer?
I think Ramirez was probably the hottest,
even though he like his teeth were rotting out of his mouth.
Well, he's in jail. I mean, you can't
no,
that again.
I've never been into it. Like I don't know.
And by the way, Luis kind of looks like him. But go ahead.
Luis does look a little like you, yeah. I've never been into that. Like,
please get here, Vanya. We can't bag on Luis all night.
I just never really been into it, and I don't know if I'm missing something, but I don't get the same
Bundy. Nothing.
No, like I've always
Gacy,
been in.
It's a big guy.
Even with my writing, I don't write like human murderers. I like monsters. I've always been into like immortals,
like supernatural
stuff. Yeah,
like Dracula's hot.
Yeah, Dracula is hot,
but Manson is not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of serial killers, I always wondered if like Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer, those have ever been Me Too'd. You know,
they're dead, so I think that would be that would probably preclude them from being Me Too'd.
No, I mean back in their day, I mean, you know, were they Me Too'd? You know, it's like this,
I don't think we were Me Too'ing people back then.
No, it's like they're like Me Too'ing Bill Cosby, and it's like, you know, it's like
Jeffrey
Dahmer, he deserves it.
Well, maybe so, but Jeffrey Dahmer didn't get it, but Bill Cosby does. I mean, it's a
well,
little
I mean,
different.
You know, it's,
I think it goes a little bit further than Me Too when you start killing people.
Yeah, probably because they're not around to like say, oh, it happened to me too. You know.
Yeah, that well, that's
yeah,
the thing.
That's
if you're not if you can't talk and you can't go on the internet, it's hard to meet too. Somebody's
somebody's texting.
Andrew just got a booty call, but now I was wondering how you got your money because you do have money, and we're gonna talk about how that's plays into how you
made
them.
Most of my money was made on the retail business, and I have a store on the boardwalk. I used to have several
Atlantic City or
Wildwood.
Oh, Wildwood, okay. Wildwood. There's a boardwalk in Wildwood.
Big boardwalk in Wildwood. I have a store. That's actually in my movie called Fame. I always wanted fame, and
it's like a rock and roll. It's like a rock and roll store.
It's kind of like a kind of a Hot Topic, but more with like a classic rock, classic celebrity Hollywood theme. Like
sure.
A lot of Dead stuff, like Grateful Dead stuff, tie dyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of like Zeppelin shirts. Led Zeppelin.
Are you a Deadhead?
No, not at all. Not really. I mean, I like them. I mean, but right. I didn't grow up with that. I just found there was a niche market there. And
how do you get your stuff?
Right, that makes
one wholesalers.
Right.
You know, one of the things about having a shop is you're constantly
Nicole, continue this conversation. I'll be right back.
Okay, we got our hot co-guests coming up. So
I think you just got Me Too'd.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So tell me how you started the shop.
How did I start the shop? Okay, so I was doing caricatures on the boardwalk, and I saw all these guys with shops making even more money than I was. I was doing very well with my caricature and print celebrity print business where I was framing the prints and things like that. And I was like, hey, I want to have one of those shops. I don't have to be out here making all the money myself. I could have other people working there making money while I'm not there.
Did you have enough or did you take out a loan?
No, I had enough saved.
That's amazing.
Started, yeah. I had enough saved. I had about 150 grand saved that I had made. But the IRS isn't watching. But, no, I had saved for a number of years, and I'd been smart. I was working so much, I was always just saving. I didn't go out and spend much. Not like now. Living in L.A., you know, I go on an average date, it's like $300, you know.
Yeah.
So back then, if I thought I was spending $60, it was like a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, first year, we had no idea what we were doing. And started this store. I had an opportunity to rent a store, which doesn't come along very often in a while, but I had an opportunity to get in with a partner, and the partner bailed, so I ended up doing it myself. And at first, I had no idea what I was doing. And eventually, I found the items that kind of sold. First year, I lost a little money. Second year, I did a little better than break even.
Next What's your most popular item?
Oh, let's see. Most popular item? Probably rock shirts, t-shirts, but there's not a particular one that sells more than others. I mean, they're different all the time. It's whatever's hot. We did very well with, like, paraphernalia over the years, like selling bongs and bowls and vapes.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
All that. Yeah. But that's not, you know.
Did you get those from wholesalers, too, or they
were? Oh, yeah. It was all wholesalers. It was actually a glass blower I used to get some of the stuff that was handmade from. So we had a better stuff than some of the other shops.
Here's Vanya. Yeah. Oh, we've got a whole. Oh, we're on. I would have looked way better than this.
We're on here.
We're on video.
I would have pushed up all of this stuff. Hi, how are you?
This is our other guest.
Never too late.
Vanya Renee, and let me tell you something. I have no complaints. I don't know if Andrew and Nicole do. You look great.
Thank you.
You know how to work it.
Things are fall. They should have been pushed up. I didn't know. If I knew, things would have been different.
Oh, stop. You look fantastic.
Would you like anything to drink?
Yes. We have orange juice. We have energy drink. We have vodka.
This works for me.
I would have brought wine, but
about it too late probably.
Yeah,
do you want a shot of vodka in that?
Yes.
Hand me your cup.
Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
No, here's the mixologist. Nicole will be the mixologist.
Nicole's our bartender.
So, what were you talking about, Andrew? Where were you?
She was asking me how I started with the store on the boardwalk, the first one, and then I opened the second one a few years later called Superstars. There was Fame and Superstars, and then
of course,
yeah. And then there was then I opened in malls and things like that over holidays for a number of years. So,
oh wow! So you were like, yeah, you were like a New Jersey mogul.
I was actually doing a lot of stores in the malls in Pennsylvania for a while.
Oh, okay.
In the Philly area.
Yeah.
And, I did that for a number of years. I still have the one store.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not there. My ex-wife manages that, so it's...
That's great.
Well, the less said about that, the better.
That's
a story Vanya can relate to, but we're not going to go in there.
Oh, no. Well, I do have an ex, but I don't talk to him anymore. But I like that you're able to still work with her like that.
She's a great person. Yeah.
Oh, you guys all...
She's way... I can't say, but way better than most other women I've ever dated. So it's probably why I married her.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll be sure to relay that to your girlfriend.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Wait, well, how much can I talk about?
He was already talking about how hot you were before you got here. You?
Me?
He's like, the hot chick's coming. I'm like,
Where'd you see me? That is
I sent a picture.
He sent me a picture of you.
That's like, when I looked great, probably.
Stop it. You look great.
That's when I was young and cute.
Well, you're still young and cute in my eyes. But,
thank you, darling. Oh, yeah. It was all pushed up.
You played the hot mom in the Doritos commercial.
That's true.
Doritos commercial? Oh, wow.
Cool Ranch.
Wow. Mark, you did your research.
Oh, I got more.
What else do you know?
I know a lot. I know that
from Facebook. That's also old.
I know that. I know that Jesus killed your rap career when you were a teenager. Let's start there.
Jesus did. Who tell?
You do know. Wait. What?
I don't know. Fill me in. What does this mean?
Let's
we want to talk about your rap career now.
Oh God.
Now, Nicole. So silly. Nicole, you remember Dare?
Yeah, I remember Dare.
Dare is involved in this. Go ahead, Johnny. Go ahead. Tell the story.
How do you know all this? I was a kid rapper. I had a little rap group. I had actually several, but I was really religious also and decided that God didn't like me rapping. I had a manager, the whole thing.
How did that? How did you make that decision?
Yeah, he didn't come down directly and speak to me in a dream or anything, but I was a Jehovah's Witness back then. I was really into it, more so than the rest of my family.
Right.
They thought,
were they Jehovah's Witness too?
Yeah.
Your family, yep.
Okay. Yeah, but they were just.
So you would knock on the door, have a watchtower, all that stuff?
Oh, the whole thing.
I always thought you guys should deliver the mail.
You're like, since you're here, just bring it up.
Right.
And then we can have a little truck instead of walking around and tiring our feet out. But yeah, I just decided, no, I don't think God wants me to do it. Plus,
the story is that that Dare had a talent show. Because we both started in show business in a teenage talent show, because the first time I did comedy was in seventh grade.
No way.
At a talent show.
I was always D-A-R-E,
the anti-drug campaign.
Yeah. Okay.
The anti-drug campaign that you obviously ignore. So
I ignore it now too.
I'm kidding.
But, in fact, why?
Yeah, we'll talk about your drug use and sexual stuff, all that stuff later. But no, you're on the Dark Mark show.
I should have watched this show. Like, what are we allowed to talk about?
We can talk about anything. We encourage profanity, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, we're allowed to have profanity. I was being PG-13.
Well, here's
fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. No, here's the thing. Andrew's been telling us for months. That he's going to be the best guest we ever had.
I'm working on it.
Honey, this outfit, the whole look is so badass.
Right, yeah. Thank you.
It is so
what
badass.
What are you doing after the show?
Right. Well, wait, you got a girlfriend. Several girlfriends.
And before,
is that a problem?
And before you guys start.
I have sex with the wives, too.
And before you guys start fucking, let me just say, you have to realize, Andrew, last time we had a show, we had a Playboy centerfold turned life coach. And the week before, we had a reporter who went undercover in the S&M world in New York and became a sex slave. So we have interesting guests.
So you set the bar really low.
Wait. So Vanya, tell us how you became a rapper for Dare.
Wait, that's not even sexy. It's like, although.
Oh, we're going to get to sexy. Don't worry about it.
Although, maybe, is this interesting that my manager was trying to have sex? I mean, I was 15. Not even trying to have sex.
Was this Johnny Gill's brother?
Right. Yes. Oh, God.
Do you remember Johnny Gill from New Edition? His brother was your manager.
Yeah.
And you were 15 and he tried to fuck you?
Well, no, he was always hitting on me. I never got that far. Remember, I was religious. I had no idea what he even wanted.
Could get the microphone a little closer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is this?
No, you don't have to be that close. But
you were 15. You were so young.
Now,
what is it about 15?
Now, did Johnny Gill's brother have better game than Andrew?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, what? He was probably 30 then anyway, right?
Hitting on 15-year-olds.
How gross.
Yeah.
Well, I don't hit 15. I mean, that's a little out of his mind.
Andrew likes him at least able to drink.
I like him at least able to drink. Yeah. But look, I'm not going to turn 18, 19, or 20 away.
And by the way, when they first met, he bought her a drink. Go ahead.
She just graduated high school.
Mark just throws things out there like, go ahead. I mean, the camera's right in the face. I mean, like, here, I didn't even look. All right. And I'm so nervous now.
There's nothing to be nervous about. I'm trying to.
Nervous. I need more of that vodka.
You like nervous?
Okay.
Is nervous
and orange
fun?
Juice.
Do men like when women are nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because we're in control.
So you don't like when women are too in control?
Most men don't.
Some men, no, well, a lot of men
some
do.
Some men do, yes, but most men don't.
When you're like a big powerful executive or something, I think you need to be like taken down a few pegs, and they get turned on by that. But
get turned on by taking you down a few pegs?
A lot of guys, like a lot of the ones who are into being dominated by dominatrix, are a lot of times like CEOs of big companies, and they're bossing everybody around all day. So they want to know what it's like to be bossed around. Mm-hmm. I assume they're not married, so I mean, it's like
You assume wrong.
That's good. Wow,
you assume
joke.
Assume absolutely incorrectly.
No, I mean because no, I feel like that happens to me. You know, like some people think I'm powerful at work, and I think the men get all funny.
Well, you are powerful. I mean,
why do they have to be so mean?
I'm sorry that I didn't get to the Dare rapping story. I want to circle back to that.
Well,
but
it's so boring.
But I know that you, you grew up in Washington, and you got a job at the World Bank. Now, how do you do that? Do you get like through a temp agency, or how does that happen?
I did.
Really? You got a job at the World Bank through a temp agency?
I sure did.
Really?
I'm a great talker. So nobody knew.
You haven't said anything yet.
Nobody knew that I didn't have. Well, I mean, yeah, that's true.
Washington
I have it, not in that
State
way.
Or D.C.
Washington D.C.
Okay, the cap.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. I mean, to get that gig, you'd have to have at least a master's.
Or blow Bill Clinton.
Hilarious. Are you not a comic as well?
Oh, don't encourage him. Please don't.
Why not?
Goddamn, please don't.
I'm
There's so many goddamn comics.
Yeah, and. Some are good, some are bad.
Guess if you shot me in the space, you'd call me an
astronaut. A few are good like you.
That's true, right?
A few are good like you, and most are bad.
There's a lot.
Really bad.
There's a lot. There's a lot of guys out there just talking into a mic, yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of them, all right, now. But so you were a teenage rapper for Dare.
Yeah.
And
I was kind of a weirdo, creative kid. I'm sure we all were.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Writing books.
I had paper dolls that I drew myself.
I love the paper doll. I would do that too. I put the little hair
I even drew backgrounds for them to have like little live action things. I was really into like super spies. So like there was like there was like a dumpster that was the entrance to the secret area. Like it was just
I love this.
I'm talking I was like 8 years old doing this. I always told stories from a young age.
Absolutely. So were you like you were writing too? Or
I started actually getting published. The first time I was published, I was 15, but I was always writing stories. I loved it. When I was 13.
Was there something you have in common with Vanya? But we'll get to there.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
No, I did too. That's why I love, and I love to draw the pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
So you draw too?
It's not anything that I kept doing. So it's like you have a knack for something from when you're a kid, but if you don't sort of cultivate it, it doesn't become anything, at least to me as an adult. I don't know.
I could draw like a cartoon. Could you draw like a cartoon?
Yeah. I would draw pictures with them and like draw about the big kids, like eighth graders, and like write like little stories about eighth grade. I know we got boring. Sorry.
You're talking to Andrew, who was a professional caricaturist for a while.
Portrait
artist, yeah.
When you were writing books at 15, he was doing caricatures.
I was doing it hustling money. I was hustling caricatures on the boardwalk.
When I was 15, I was masturbating.
We were all masturbating. Wait, when did you start masturbating?
13,
I think it was like about 13,
I started 13, masturbating
12, 13, maybe.
12, and then I was with my first girl experimentally at age 13.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And and tonight, maybe the streak will continue.
Wait, so are you still with women now?
I'm still bi, yes. Wow. And like, I would prefer to like long-term date a man.
Right.
I'm what they call a trisexual.
I try to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a girl I kind of like right now anyway, but it just hasn't like blossomed into anything at this point.
It's Andrew's girlfriend.
No, it's not. I don't know Andrew's girlfriend that way.
Why long term?
No, not in the biblical sense.
But it's a friend of mine, and we've made out a few times. And when he wanted to have a threesome, I thought, well, I have someone I could call, but I don't want to call that person. I want to just have sex.
Remember the girl I was trying to date?
Yes.
That was over my place, and she met you. And I've been trying to get with her for a long time, and she started making out with you. That was really, I was like, that was nice.
I hurt Andrew's feelings, and I apologize for that. I broke bro code.
She broke my bro code. I was like, oh my God.
And the weirdest thing was, she was like, she's the first girl I've ever been attracted to. And the way she kissed, I don't believe that.
So it is funny, like when, I remember being with a guy, like when I was in my 20s, and he was like 20 years older than I was. I would always have this kinky sex. And I was like, I like that you slap me and all, but you love me, right? Like after a while, it's like, it's always kinky. Well, you kind of were, you're like, you know, you like it kinky, but then after a while you're like, but the love is, we're in love, right? I mean, I like a little fun, but all the time. I mean, God damn it. I mean, I've had a lot of sex.
I've just decided I'm not going to tell guys that I want to have a threesome anymore because it like goes to their heads and it's all they can think about.
I've never had a threesome.
You would. You totally could at some point.
I've never had a.
You want to have a foursome?
Wow. You're like, I don't think.
As long as it's me and three girls.
We got a lot of fun here. The ride is young.
There's four people here.
You know,
so
I've been trying to have a threesome a long time, and I approached this one girl, and she thought it was a great idea.
Right.
You know, but she went out and got two other.
But doesn't it seem very busy? A lot to do.
It's like I only got one dick, so I mean.
I'm relieved, but
but one be eating your ass and the other be sucking your.
Let's get into it. Do you like eating ass? That. Is that the thing?
I mean, no. I mean,
I like threesomes, but I just think it's weird how guys become obsessed with them. Like it's. I mean, I get it. These two guys, because it happened to the guy before too.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have threesomes with my friends. He kept trying to get me to sleep with like people that I'm like close to and not in that way.
Oh, I don't like that.
because like I have my, two of my friends who I'm very close to are very straight. They wouldn't even be interested in like making out or anything like that.
Right.
And he kept hitting on different people and be like, what about this girl? Like he just kept bringing it up like every girl. Right. Like,
he's like, I'm just hitting on her because I'm hoping to bring her to us. Like, whatever, motherfucker.
Doing you a favor.
Right? Exactly.
I thought she was just right for you.
Right?
I'm so unselfish.
I'm doing film research. Like, no, you're not. I'm like, I get sweaty when I talk about sex.
Well, please, let's see how sweaty we can get.
So
what's funny is now we're going to talk about sex, but you have a video on YouTube about
about being the
black girlfriend, the first black girlfriend.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
Are you the first black girlfriend a lot?
Huh.
I didn't even think you were black.
Oh, yeah. I'm tons of races, actually, in one. Korean, black.
I'm a little something going on there.
I know, locally, you know, yeah. But I'm a ton of things, actually, yeah. Which is fun. Dang.
I grew up with Italians, and you have that same complexion.
She does have, we're very similar, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Italian?
Half Italian, yeah.
And what's the other half?
French.
Ooh.
Yes. We like threesomes.
It's true.
Well, if I could pause this for a second before you all start fucking. Can you go with the list of you're black and Korean? I know that.
Okay. American Indian, black, Korean, and white.
Okay.
I just threw it like you don't like
it.
I had
a basic cover. It's like.
I
had a friend named Ernestine, and she said it was called burnt kimchi when you're black Korean.
Ooh. Hilarious. Yes.
Love it.
Hilarious.
She was half black, half Korean. So
kimchi.
Yeah.
Wow.
Burnt kimchi, yeah. Mm. Ernestine was a nice person.
Black and Korean. That's
nice mix. No,
I mean, those are very, well, I have a stand-up bit about it. Like, two very strong-willed groups of people in one person. That's
right.
It. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Koreans can be very grumpy.
very grumpy. Really? You got a temper?
I don't.
They all got a temper.
Well, let me see. Right? I think I've been a lot better with it in the last 10 years, but it did come out recently with an ex.
Really? Do tell.
Does he still have his balls?
No.
The Italian in me, there's something about it where you just want to throw a shoe.
Mm.
Like, I don't know why Italians, but it's just our footwear. We want to like hit you with the shoe or we want to throw the shoe. I have literally picked up a shoe as a weapon before.
Hilarious.
It's just in your genetics.
I'll just go right for the head. Like, what the fuck? If I'm mad, I'm going to go, not that I do that. And I did that only once because he was cheating or trying to cheat.
Mm. You can't. Bothers you sometimes.
I mean, cheating bothers everyone,
even
hope.
Even if you try. Like, how dare you?
Yeah. Was he trying to make a threesome?
Right? He was doing research. This is for us. I want to pick the girl. If I'm
that's
with a girl.
See, that's the thing.
What?
The guys always try to pick the girl, but the woman really should be picking the girl.
Right?
Yeah.
If the girl's not hot, I don't even want to be involved in the threesome.
Right, because guys have picked girls for you. You're like, ew, no.
Exactly. It's not
my
type.
Right. And I'm tired of husbands coming up to me saying, oh, let's get together. And then I see the wife, and I'm like,
yes.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's all right.
Whoa. Swingers.
Yeah, and it's just like, you think I'm accepting anybody? Sometimes the guy will look good, but then the girl will be nuts. No, that's not
right.
Yeah,
well, I want to be attracted to the woman mainly, guy.
Right. If you've ever been to a swingers club, it's a horror show.
Never been to one. I've seen it on TV. Like, remember the
TV? What TV are you watching?
Remember the movie Once Bitten with Jim Carrey, where they all go to the swingers club
and the
vampire picks them up on the phone. Remember,
which one?
That's Once Bitten.
It was a swingers club.
It was an '80s club. It was an '80s movie.
Everybody was swinging.
But
in
that was Jim Carrey's like first starring role, I think.
And I know what you're talking about now.
And
I didn't see
he
it,
plays like a kid who gets seduced by a vampire, and then he's a virgin. And anyway, that's the movie. And
yeah,
he's a virgin, and he goes to a swingers club.
Yeah, well, it's two other virgin words.
Right.
That's where virgins
sort of
go, Mark.
Talk him into it.
You're telling me.
That's where I'm finding my virgins. No, I.
Yeah.
You know, I used to do that sex club. What was it called? Sanctum.
Oh, I remember that. I never went, but I was invited.
Oh my god.
I heard it was kind of gross.
It got a little wild.
Okay.
How so?
Well, first, it's like $100,000 for the guys to join.
Of course.
The women, you can go for, they know you go
just go for free. Like everything else in LA, the guys pay. Right, the women, right. The women are like, hey, come on in. You know.
Right. But then it gets a little scary for the women. You walk in, it's like, oh, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot. Where the
All these guys got $100,000 to just drop.
Oh,
on.
God.
$10,000.
And you can imagine what those ladies look. Oh, I think it was 100.
It was 100?
It became 100. Oh, to get the special membership with the pen.
Oh, is that like an annual thing? Or like the
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
all right.
So.
That makes more sense. It's still stupid.
No, I'm not in that income bracket.
You don't want to do that.
You don't,
like,
need,
that
to. You don't need to pay for sex.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's true.
Look at your hot ass. Can you imagine some of the men that were paying?
Exclusive member of a $100,000 sex club. That's got to have some kind of prestige.
Well, it's funny because
we're like, it got very strange. It's
funny you should say that because Andrew was on a podcast and he was talking about, geez, I don't know if I could do an OnlyFans. And I'm telling you, you could.
Why? What are you going to do?
You would make much money.
You saw my OnlyFans.
You would make so much money on OnlyFans. But I will tell you, no women. It'd be all guys.
It would all be gay guys. Yeah.
It'd be all guys.
I mean, he's got the style.
He's a bear.
And I'm totally not into guys at all, so it's like, you know, I was never.
It's okay. You don't thou doth protest
too
much.
I wish I was because it's like, you know, it's like.
Because they all love you.
They all love me. It's like I go into like I walk down.
This is so cute.
Melrose Avenue, and I'm like, and the guys are like.
That is so cute.
My friend was telling me about how their friend recently came out. It's a guy friend, mm-hmm. came out as bisexual, and now he's having tons more sex, but no women.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Of course.
Suddenly, all of a sudden, he's having sex all the time now that he's bisexual.
Oh, I'm sure.
So speaking of my friends who want to get with Miss Nicole, let's talk about Rockwell.
Do you remember Rockwell? I always feel like somebody's watching me, that song.
Of course. It's great.
He is in Andrew's movie, Fake It Till You Make It.
Wait. What movie?
Fake It Till You Make It. That's my movie.
What's your movie? Wait, what's your movie about?
Faking it till you make it.
Is it about sex? It's about Sex Club.
It's about a guy who comes from the East Coast, feels invisible, wants to be a star, and wants to meet his dream girl. So he goes out to Hollywood, makes his own movie, and stars in it.
Love it. Well, that's what a lot of them do.
It's a comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that what's his name did? Speaking of swingers,
that was one of the inspirations.
The movie Swingers was one of the inspirations. Yeah. I'd always wanted to go to the Dresden when I lived back east, and now I go there like twice a week. And
he was thinking about going there tonight.
Yeah, I know, probably.
Oh, really?
They have live jazz tonight.
You should tell me because I live right by the Dresden.
He does. He's very close.
I live down the street. Wednesday, Thursday, they have live music.
Los Feliz.
The husband recently passed. What am I thinking?
Oh, Marty and Elaine.
Yeah.
Marty did pass, but he was. I think it was 90 or 89.
Was he?
Yeah,
I'm glad I finally saw them perform at least once.
They were great.
I mean, I'm right in the
They were wonderful. And Elaine came back a couple times by herself. And they just
That would
back
be so hard.
A few times.
Like, I don't
to be.
I couldn't.
She's so cute. She's just like, she's like literally like 4'11 or something. She's like tiny.
Right.
And she plays like 20 instruments. She's like so talented. She's great. And they always have people sitting in and doing the parts. And Marty was always on drums. I think she was on keyboards. He was always playing the drums and kind of singing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They were a wonderful show.
Right.
I hope I find something like that. Like, it'd be nice to have, like, a partner that you could live your whole life with.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
And faking it till you make it. So,
I like a different partner about, you know, 10, 15 years younger each time around.
He's just saying that. He's a softie. Right. He wants a full-time partner.
Well, I'm in this weird space right now, and I don't know if you guys
You're the hot mom.
Is it? That's funny. No, in that
Cool Ranch.
You're so funny.
I saw the commercial. He sent me the commercial. You looked really hot in that commercial.
That's very sweet. Yeah. Thank you, sweet.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah, I'll send you the commercial. She looks great.
Right. That's very sweet. I actually I'm also I also like women, but I haven't. I was dating one for a short while, and
how did that go?
It was lovely. A lot of talking. There was a lot of talking, but I needed it at the time. Mm-hmm. It was a lot deeper, a lot more emotional than the male relationships. But I wanted to get back to this, right?
Okay.
Like, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I know my nail is bothering me.
You are half black. Go ahead.
You guys don't notice your nails.
It bothers me that it just broke.
Women do. That's the main thing.
Yeah, women notice women's nails. Guys do not care.
It broke
about
today,
your nails.
And I was like, "What? I'm going to run back yesterday." Right.
And I only noticed your extensions because I saw your video. But go ahead.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I just wonder what you guys think about this. I mean, like, sex is great. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much.
I think we're all in agreement there.
Right. Had a lot of it. Had a lot of threesomes, foursomes, sixsomes, you know, whatever.
What's the highest number?
In a night?
Yeah.
Oh, probably is it five? I don't.
Okay, seven? Okay. Yeah. So go ahead, fivesomes.
That sounds. Yeah, sorry.
I was talking about five fivesomes.
Oh, five. No, just five people in an. Yeah, I'm typically the first naked person at any like orgy. It's just like, oh, okay. I'm like, can I get the party started or what?
You definitely need to hang out.
Yeah. And by the way, this is now the Dark Mark orgy.
Nice. So, you know. I think I've even been invited to. I know that I've been invited to some parties. To be that person, to right. be the. Oh, wait, what
the
are
naked,
we doing?
The naked the, hot the, girl
to so get what, the mood going.
The, so what are we doing? Yeah. You know, because they know that I'll. Yeah. You know, I like to.
We'll steer the action that
definitely.
Way.
Definitely, I'm definitely that mm-hmm. because I like ladies and I like men and I like for everybody to feel good.
And this comes from your repressed childhood as a Jehovah's Witness.
Probably so.
Everybody has a repressed childhood because of the wild.
Maybe or maybe it was always there. I think it's also I think sex energy is linked to spirituality. I
agree.
Yeah, it's definitely
Nicole,
the force.
Could you pour Andrew a drink?
It's definitely the force.
He's being very yeah.
So my thing. So okay. So I'll get to my point. But when does it get boring and you really want love? Yeah, like that.
To be honest, that's what I always wanted. I always wanted the. You know, I bullshit.
No,
I
always, know. Oh, he really does.
I
yeah.
always want the connection.
The connection is sexier.
Yeah, I want that partner I can really like feel like has my back. You know,
absolutely.
And they're not judging me. They're not. They admire me for who I am. And
yes.
Like, you know,
you're a team.
I have a song called Superstar that I recorded. It's
he's a musician
movie.
As well.
And it says the line in is, "I want to be a superstar. I want to travel low so far. I want you to love me for who I am. I want to be your Superman."
Yeah.
So that's basically what I want. I want that person to.
Can
look
I
at
say
me
this?
As,
you can stop me, yes. But Andrew really wants someone to live with him and experience every moment with him, and he wants a real partner.
No one's every yeah. moment, but at least you know. You know
see, now he's already backtracking.
No, but I think.
Much. I mean, I need
yeah,
a little
it's a tough.
Time.
That's tough.
Well, here's the thing: I've had such little sex that
really.
Oh, you'd be surprised, but
interesting.
That, yeah, so that I. There's it's never going to be boring for me.
I see.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. But but like Andrew, I you know, I'm somebody that you know, I'm more of a pleaser, quite frankly.
Mm.
Somebody just asked me, I was on a date the other day, and she's like, what are you into? What fetishes are you into? And I'm like, I'm really into pleasing a woman.
Mm.
I like, cuz every woman has a lock. It's a different lock. Mm. And it's always nice to find the key.
Interesting.
And it's not always
the same key.
No, and it's not always physical. I mean, if a man wants a woman, and Nicole, tell me if I'm wrong, to be really wild and insane and no holds barred, make her feel safe. If
yeah,
I feel
boy, yeah.
safe, if I'm having a conversation with you and I'm really connected with you and we're like eye to eye,
mm-hmm.
and that's sexy. When I feel safe. There's nothing I won't do. It'll probably be the most disgusting, lewd of sex, but we're, I don't know.
I would say I feel that way. Like,
yeah.
I want to be safe, but I want to be doted upon. I want to be courted. I want to be like wooed, you know?
Right?
I want to feel special.
But here's the question.
Make me feel special, and I'll make you feel special.
Here's the question to both of you beautiful women. If that's the case, how come every beautiful woman goes out with an asshole who doesn't do any of that?
I know the answer.
Well,
please,
in my
go
case,
ahead, Andrew.
Balls enough to hit on her.
Let's hear what Andrew says.
I'll tell you.
Well, I got balls enough to hit on.
This is from listening to all the like dating coaches. Like I was married a long time.
Dating coaches.
Yeah, so I would go, I would get these dating courses, you know, and audio books and stuff. And it really goes back to our hunter and gatherer history. And women in the tribes used to be like attracted to the strongest, most brutish man that was there. So he would be like uncaring, slap her around, but he was strong. He wasn't weak. That's why nice guys sometimes appear weak, appear needy. And there's nothing less attractive than somebody who's needy for a woman. If he's needy and like, you know,
but then both these beautiful women said, I want to be needed. I want to be.
On a primal level, it doesn't really.
No, that's not what I said. I want to be treated
too.
Like I'm special.
Yeah.
That right. doesn't mean I want you to blow
they
me up
want
all day.
The guy who's
right.
unavailable.
No.
So Vanya, let's hear your perspective.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt Andrew. Go right ahead.
They want the guy who's unavailable to them to be doting on. They just want him to be that. You know? Oh, what no. I mean? Right, they don't want the nice guy who's willing to give them that very easily. They want something that seems like it's very hard to attain. Right.
Thank you for offering me. You really took those us as well. Go ahead.
Sorry. I didn't mean to hit your microphone with my head.
Oh, that's okay. You're establishing your dominance. Go ahead.
I know where you're coming from, and I hear it from both sides. And here's what I think about it.
I didn't mean to give you such a complex question.
No, because it's come up for me. I've had to think about this, and what I like, and I think maybe we all do, is that
a beautiful blue-eyed goth man.
Nice, very beautiful blue eyes. Yes. I want to know that you're responding to me, like, just like sex is a conversation, just like kissing is a conversation, it's a back and forth.
You
understand what my lips are doing, and then you don't like somebody who's like biting down in your mouth. You're like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Be here with me.
But sometimes you like a man biting down.
Well, it depends. Am I giving you that? Like, I want it to be an exchange of energy, a dance.
Right. Just
because that's how we also fuck, right? You move with me.
You dance with me,
right? So when you're calling me more than I'm calling you, you're not dancing with me. I can see that you're caught up in something else that has nothing to do with me, and I don't like that. I want you to be with me. So that already tells me you're not going to be good in bed or something because you don't know how to match energy. You don't know how you don't know how to dance. So I don't think it's more about this person's being needy as it is, I'm not giving you that right now.
Right.
So the fact that you're doing that shows me you don't know how to dance with me.
That's a good explanation. I like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Basically, and it's on the subconscious level, I would imagine.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, it's all on the subconscious level.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't think we go around thinking like, hey, this person's texting me too. It's just we get a feeling that it's
right.
Like,
we're just like, this bothers me.
It annoys us. The wrong energy when we get that text annoys us. It's like one too many.
Ben, wait till she texts you back before texting her again.
Or wait a week.
Lesson number one. Don't send her 3 or 4 texts.
No.
Every 15 minutes.
But conversely, you're not dancing. I was thinking about that too, because I remember having a lovely conversation with a man, and we were just going back and forth. And in the moment, right, if we're going back and forth and you're responding right back to me, that energy's there. Mm-hmm. But then I go back to work. And I'm busy, and now I have
stuff going on.
And then after work, I go home. I do whatever. Maybe I do stand up, or if I say I'm at the gym. I'll talk to you later. And then I come back, and you've left me sonnet. I got homework.
I gotta read poetry.
Right?
Oh God.
Right. It's just, and then
were a poet. You were a slam poet.
I was a poet as well.
You were a slam poet in the Washington D.C. scene.
That was me trying to be Shakespearean just now. But what I meant is
I understand.
Left a long paragraph for me to read.
Sonnet is a long poem popularized by Shakespeare. Just for my stupid audience. Exactly. So.
There was this one guy who used to text me every day. And he would ask me what I wanted to talk about when he was the one who initiated the conversation.
You don't do that.
Oh, God.
It was terrible.
You lead. You don't follow.
What do you want to
There's
talk
a whole
about?
Line in my movie. There's a whole theme in my movie in one of the early scenes where my character, that my friend tells me to get this.
You both
just
had to drink simultaneously. It was so great. it was literally in synchronicity. You and Nicole are so synchronized.
I love that.
With no surprise, if anybody's going to hook up, it's going to be you and Nicole. But go ahead, Andrew.
Nicole is very smart, very charming.
She's smart, charming. Yeah, yeah. And as are you. Go ahead, Brandon.
So in my movie, Adam is telling me, go get this waitress's number.
Right.
And I kind of talk to her, and at the end, I ask her for a number. And she sort of blows it off a little. She's like, oh, you can have my Instagram, you know. So,
in the movie.
And so he's like, what? I was like, oh, that was embarrassing. Let's get out. He's like, look, you did great, but you made one mistake. You asked for her number. You don't ask. You tell. You say, put the digits in my phone. I was like, put the digits in my phone. Like, yo, bitch, yeah, we going to hang. Put the digits in my phone. Oh my like, you don't say it like you exude it like that. So it's.
You exude, yo bitch, put your number in my phone. That's what you exude.
That was an ad lib he did.
Yo bitch.
He threw me under the bus on that. He was dating some like woke chick who like
Yeah,
I know. Who was, you know,
here we go.
And he like
showed her his scene.
And he showed her the scene and she thought that because I wrote it I was sexist, but he didn't tell her. He actually ad-libbed that part.
And also later in the movie.
Little did she know that you're sexist besides that. Go ahead.
Oh, later in the movie. I'm gonna give away a little bit of a spoiler here.
Oh no, don't spoil. Take it till you make it.
I know.
You guys are crazy right now.
Let me guess, you make it at the end.
That's great.
So when he goes to the store, he meets this lovely gay clerk, and the gay clerk actually says, "Yo, bitch, put your digits in my phone."
Hilarious.
And so he ends up getting picked up the same way. That's how you know that he's actually not like a bad guy. Is he all
because gay guys hit on him?
Well, it wasn't a gay, it was a trans.
It was a trans woman.
Crystal Thomas is the name
like
of the actor.
Like a black, a Korean, a trans.
I got my pronouns wrong, so I have to make sure she... She's actually a woman.
Okay, I am sorry.
Post-op or anything, but yes. She identifies. The only time I identify with being a woman is when the men's room's full and I gotta go to the bathroom. And that's, you know, I do that. Then I'm like, I identify with being a woman.
Oh, God.
Women's room's so much
Don't open with
that,
by the way.
That's the only reason I don't like sharing bathroom with straight men. I mean, because... Oh my God, why does it smell so bad? Like,
we piss on the seat, like, we stink. Yeah, it's all...
I was like, what is going on?
Pubic hairs on the rim.
It is... What? I didn't see that, but it is just...
I went to the bathroom in Andrew's house. So that's right.
Wow.
Oh, stop. I'm like, my
I'm
place
kidding.
Like,
no, it's immaculate. I'm kidding.
I know.
Your pee is strong. There's a, yeah. If any guy moves in with me, it's like,
really? Are men's urine more potent and smellier than women's? Or is it just that you're used to your odor? Your urine odor.
Well, then it's...
I figure we get to urine at some point in the sexual conversation, but...
But then it's potent, then... Right?
Urine odor is all determined by what you eat. If you eat pineapple, it's going to smell great. If you eat asparagus,
oh, is this the old thing, it's true.
On a night when I drank a lot, my urine smells like alcohol.
Interesting.
So we know what our urine's going to smell like tonight. But,
oh my God! Well, no. This one was always drinking water. But that urine was just
That might be because when you drink a lot of water, the urine's white. It's like clear.
Yeah, so you would think that it would not smell as much, but maybe because he was peeing a lot. Yeah, maybe that's...
Maybe he was drinking like Tijuana water. I don't know what. Nice.
Water.
Yeah, Washington D.C. water. I don't know, but
water.
Yeah, water. Water.
I haven't been there so long.
Water.
Yeah, how did I say water in Philly?
Water. Do I have an accent to you?
Yes, he's from New Jersey. Yes, you do.
Oh, Jersey.
But that's funny because I have an accent.
I don't hear an accent.
Where are you from?
Same.
And we're both from Colorado.
I have one.
Yeah.
Wait, let's hear it again. Let's hear you.
You want to hear my accent?
Say water.
Water.
Say water, Vanya.
Water.
Okay, so it's a short
water.
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 What do you say?
Water.
Water.
If you're really from New Jersey, it's water.
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 I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Coffee. Yeah.
Coffee. Oh, no, that's another one. Coffee
talk.
That's awful. Yeah.
Or,
it's awful.
Or, yeah, you want a pop, you know, all that stuff. So it's a
whole thing. We didn't have pop. Pop is Michigan.
You didn't have pop? Okay.
Oh, really?
We're soda.
We're soda.
Oh, soda.
We're soda.
I thought it's soda pop. No? Nobody says that?
No, some people say pop in the Midwest. That's like a Chicago
Midwest,
thing.
Midwest, yeah. Chicago, Michigan. Thing,
right.
Like, we just say soda.
So let me try to steer this if I can.
Oh, back to sex.
Okay. No, we're going to get to sex. How did you meet Rockwell, the singer of Somebody's Watching Me? And funny enough, like, all of his songs are about stalking. He has a song called Obscene Phone Caller and all this stuff. Yeah. And
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah, no, his follow-up was Obscene Phone Caller.
Very
and
good
he
song,
said,
actually. It was a good song. Yeah. Job in the video.
The irony is, since you introduced her to Nicole, he's been stalking Nicole. So did you meet
every woman?
How did you meet Rockwell?
Including my ex-wife.
And he stalked your ex-wife, too?
He's trying to hit on her. I was like, dude, you got to draw the line somewhere.
How did you meet Rockwell?
Okay, so.
And Rockwell, by the way, is Barry Gordy's son.
His real name is Kennedy Gordy.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, the president of Motown Records, Barry Gordy, is his son.
$900 million.
Did we all know
this?
Was this common knowledge? I didn't know that.
It's like an 80s thing. I know that because I saw some video about it.
The Jacksons and Michael Jackson.
That's how Michael Jackson sang on Somebody's Watching.
Right.
Because they were childhood buddies.
So, yes. So I had a condo in Hollywood that I bought in 2020. And
you thought you were hot shit for knowing Johnny Gill's brother. Go ahead.
I didn't.
So I bought this condo, and my neighbor upstairs, there was a gay couple upstairs for me, guys, who used to fight, like fist fight. Well, the one guy would beat up the other.
The trans or the gay?
No, they were like gay.
Okay.
And the one guy was kind of like a, you know, like the
like abusing him,
the butch or whatever.
The dominant.
The dominant. Yeah. And the other guy was a little guy.
He was the hey bitch, give me your number kind of guy. Okay.
Well, he was crazy too. He was like a meth head. And and they busted the toilet upstairs or something, and it flooded into my apartment. Like flooded
was stinky
the
pee.
While I was no, it was just water. But while I was away, this happened. I was in New Jersey. I was in Wildwood, and I get a call. Oh, your neighbor below you is saying there might be a flood in your.
Oh you were out of town.
So, and I was. So I luckily I had Adam from my movie had a key. I had him go over. And checked it out. And he's like, "Oh yeah, there's water dropping at water."
Now you're ceiling. All self-conscious.
And yeah, I know. Water dropping out of my ceiling. So I got an insurance claim. So they put me up in while they were arguing with me over the insurance if the insurance claim was going to be like $8,000 or $20,000, like which is what it really cost to fix. They were spending $6,000 a month to put me up in this luxury apartment in Westwood.
Yeah.
And it was called the Glendon Apartments, and Rockwell actually lived in the Glendon Apartments. And
Still does.
Spoiler
for anyone watching.
Insurance guy.
If you want to stalk Rockwell, we can give you the address.
Yeah, off daddy's money, because I don't think he's making any
So this guy named Bob Zed, who was the, I guess, the guy who worked for the insurance, who places people for the insurance companies, he had all these luxury buildings around there, and he said, oh, there's somebody, you know, I know you're into film and a musician, there's somebody I want you to meet. And that was Rockwell. He introduced me to Rockwell. And we started hanging a little bit. And then it just blows my mind that Rockwell is worth, like, you know, his dad is worth $900 million. And he still calls me to hit me up for $60 or whatever.
He asked for money from me as well.
I know, which is pretty great.
He had one big hit song, but.
It was a number one hit.
It was a huge hit, but. And
he
every,
sold the rights.
Every Halloween you hear it, but he sold the rights. So he is, yeah. So, but he is in your movie.
He's in my movie.
But he doesn't
have a cameo.
Family. Yeah.
He has a cameo, and his big line is, "Cause it always feels like somebody's
hilarious."
Me.
It is hilarious.
Yeah, we say, why do you keep looking over your shoulder like this?
Spoiler alert. And the irony is, he didn't even sing it on the song.
He didn't. That was Michael Jackson actually sang it. He was doing the rap.
Yeah.
Right.
So he has something in common with you.
Nice. Wait. Yeah. So he didn't.
No, he's the guy. Just an average man in the average life, and then in the chorus, it's Michael Jackson singing.
It's Michael Jackson singing.
I always feel.
Wow. So he didn't even sing at all. He was just, it wasn't even rap. It was like this talk.
He was like, he was like,
I don't have a problem with him, but he used to call me regularly.
You already know she has a problem with him.
Well, he used to call me a lot. And so I ended up blocking his number because it was inappropriate.
Of course.
And then he started calling me from a secret number that says no caller ID.
Come on.
And so I was on a date last night and he called me in the middle of my date. And so I had to explain to my date who this person was. Well, I didn't have to, but I felt annoyed. So I came out.
Well, you were humble bragging. I know the guy who's seeing somebody's watching me.
Yeah, he's a lunatic.
Okay, I was on a date with a guy who was 26. He didn't know who the fuck that was.
Yeah, right?
He's a little strange, but he drinks a lot, but he's, you know, he's kind of a nice
Rockwell
guy,
only calls me when he wants sex or money, and I have no intention of giving him either.
He doesn't call me for the, well, he calls me for the money part.
Rockwell, if you'd like to have some sex, please hit me up. Give me a call. Anyway, speaking of sex.
Yes.
I met a child star at a, I don't want to say his name, but because we're still friends, at a sex club. I remember.
Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman. No.
Well, who was it? You
got to
say the name.
Well, I have, but what if he.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be watching.
He'll never watch this. He'll never listen.
Okay,
to
well,
this.
Let me. Like
right?
Or if you'd like, if you could say the name so we know it, but I'll bleep it.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll set it up like this. I went to a sex club and I was with another couple, hot couple, and
nice.
Super hot. Mm. Like the guy is very attractive, but he's kind of like a brother to me almost. And his girlfriend, Lily, just. Right. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm in his arms and we're looking up at her and I'm like, high five, dude. Like, I can't even believe you. Anyway, so that's not even the story. So a guy comes out and he goes, hey, make sure you guys put towels down everywhere.
Of course.
There are towels. And he brings towels to us. He goes, you want to have towels down? You know, just make sure everything's great, you know, on these beds and things. And I said, that's really cool of you. And I said to my boy, I was like, I'm going to go over and talk to this guy. He was like, okay. And so
the towel boy,
towel guy, because he was really sweet and everybody's high on Molly anyway. So I'm chatting it up with him. We're having a great conversation and he goes, isn't this great that we're just like having this conversation here in the middle of a sex club? I was like, yeah, while you're getting your dick sucked the whole time. And then a girl down there goes, hi. Like, I was like, it's the guy from, remember that? That show, Real Genius.
We'll be back. Yes, Real Genius.
He's the kid.
Val Kilmer, but he was the kid.
Who was the kid in Real Genius? Hold on, wait a minute.
No, we don't have time. I don't know his name.
Don't say it anymore.
His name anyway, but I know you're talking about. It's not Val Kilmer. It was the kid that was hanging out with him.
But he gave me his card, and it said like sign language interpreter. But when I was looking at his face, I was like, look really familiar.
He's multifaceted.
Yes, we were hanging out for a while.
I don't even know who that is. I've never heard of him.
Did you find him attractive?
Yeah. I mean, we had sex. I'll tell you what.
If guys are listening and we have a predominantly male audience,
if
you really want to have sex, and Andrew, you might want to get into this.
What should we get into?
Try
sex clubs.
No. We try our sponsor, Tactical Soap. We are sponsored by Tactical Soap. No. Tactical Soap is pheromone infused soap.
Really?
And Vanya, you know, you want a guy to smell good, don't you?
I sure do, because I like to eat him up.
Right. Well, you'll be eating this up because they have three variations of three different soaps.
Oh, okay.
Maverick. Bond and Dirted.
Bond, that's for me.
And they have soaps.
Maverick.
James Bond.
Right. They have Maverick. Yeah, Bond is for the older men. And so, but they have three different variations of the soap. Great smelling. I'm waiting for myself to come. But they have soaps. They have deodorant. They have lotions. They have all sorts of stuff. Go to the description in this podcast and get your Tactical Soap.
Get your soap on.
Exactly.
Soapy. Mm.
It's soapy.
That's
so
a lot of commercial.
It is.
It's a lot. Anyway.
Blonde girls, black girls. Okay, sorry. Yes, that was the commercial back in the day. Remember those like phone sex lines?
Oh, one
blonde in girls, black girls, yeah. Double that's your pleasure.
The party line.
How many party lines did you call back in the day, Andrew?
None, because I didn't want to pay like $2.99 a minute.
Right?
You know, like,
oh, my God. Yeah. I've called those lines.
Yeah, what happened?
I talked to girls because I was a little little.
You're really into girls.
Yeah, probably more so than
Yep. Mm-hmm. And what?
But I guess I was told when I was young that I couldn't have them, and now
that's the Jehovah's Witness.
Now I'm just too awkward around them.
Right. So you're awkward around girls.
I'm awkward anyway, but I enjoy it. I love that part.
But then again, you have such a crush on Michael J. Fox. How is that?
I love Michael J. Fox. Yeah. Oh,
please explain this to everybody, because I'm not sure if I...
Fox movie. Go ahead.
Back to the Future, Part 1. The second best movie would be Secret of My Success.
I love Casualties of War.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so hot. The movie with the rape in it, that's the one that we're always lusting after,
like,
Michael J. Fox.
He was like that sort of character. You know,
did he rape someone in that?
No. Sean Penn does.
Sean Penn.
Sean Penn and...
Of course it's Back to the Future. What'd you expect her to say? Bright Lights, Big City? It's Back to the Future.
Doc Hollywood's
also good.
But Back to the Future is one of the best movies of all time.
It is the most perfect movie ever made.
Right.
I tried showing my girlfriend the trailer for Back to the Future. She never watched it.
Oh, my God.
And
what?
She never saw Back to the Future. She's like, this is not the type of movie I like.
Oh.
I was doing her accent.
You mean a perfect movie?
Yeah, perfect movie. Yeah, she doesn't like perfect movies. What movies does she like? What's her favorite movie?
I don't know. It's like,
that is a really good date question, Andrew.
She's told me movies she's like, but I think she's more of the dark mystery kind of.
Is she a true crime girl? What's up with that?
Yeah, right? Silence of the Lambs is probably her.
Yikes!
I don't know.
I like Seven.
She's a little on. I mean, you know, she's very feisty, and you know, if I bring up something, I think sometimes she just picks the opposite just to be that way, you know.
She's a contrarian.
You know, I used to have more sex when I was single.
That's true. I get you.
After she hears this, I'm sure you're going to have plenty.
She's not going to listen.
Unless you get Tactical Soap.
I invited her to come here
tonight. You get Tactical Soap.
You get Tactical Soap.
Put it right up your butt. I'm obsessed with butts, I think.
Really? Is that your thing? But let's get to the Michael J. Fox thing. Now, what is it about Michael J. Fox? That is it the short stature? What is it?
Maybe so. And that, like,
I'm only 5'10 in the air.
Oh, that's good to know. He's also incredibly talented.
Oh, he's great.
He is.
When you think about him on Family Ties,
yeah,
as
which
a young.
You love.
Absolutely, 100%. I almost got the Family Ties portrait to put it up in my house because I'm a nut like that.
And by the way, kids, Family Ties was a sitcom in the 80s, but go ahead.
I always watched the Pornhub Family Pies. Have you ever seen that?
Hilarious. No.
It's true. They have a Family Pies. It's like.
Oh, trust me, Andrew, we believe you.
Stepbrothers and stepsisters and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
No, but okay, so Family Ties. So when you
I
were.
I mean, because he's. And he, I mean, I was kind of that character, in, I think, in my house, like kind of that nerdy.
You were the button down Republican in the hippie family.
Yeah, I was sort of as you know like the super religious one in a family that's kind of like, yeah, we're in this religion, but you're taking it too far, kid. And you know, with the sweater vest and stuff, I don't know. I was related to him, I think, and he was just
you were related to Michael J. Fox.
No,
and
I mean,
you're
attracted
to him.
Like,
or
you
related
relate,
to the character.
I could relate to, but not only that, he was just so. The way he said his line.
He's funny.
The way he could lift and land a joke as a young person.
Amazing.
It was, how do you understand the script in that way?
Right. No, he's
like, it was beyond. Amazing. Yeah. And you know, they said the show was supposed to be about the parents, but
right.
They saw how the audience reacted to him and they were
he
like,
stole
oh,
it. He stole the show.
Yeah. They're like, we got to make it about him.
He stole it. No, I get you. I understand. Michael J. Fox is great. Now,
yeah.
let me ask, is he hotter now with Parkinson's or was he hotter before?
He's always hot to me.
Yeah.
He'll never stop being hot.
I remember reading back in the day about there was a big thing where he and Justine Bateman didn't get along.
Like, interesting.
She hated him. She was very
Because
resentful.
He was probably getting all the spotlight.
He was
all
getting
the
all the spotlight. And she was acting like he was trying to quit smoking and she was like blowing smoke in his face and stuff like that.
Mm.
And
that's when people could smoke indoors.
Justine, don't sue me. This is just stuff I heard. So
yeah, Justine Bateman listens to this all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So she does. You know, you didn't know that. So but anyway, the producer sat her down and was like, you know, you are expendable. We can send you off to college.
Wow.
Michael J. Fox
is our
going
star.
Anywhere. You know, it's like mm-hmm. so,
get it together.
And she got her act together after that. And,
you can say shit. She got her shit together.
She got her shit. I mean,
shit
went the other way. She stopped acting like a complete total bitch, you know. And that's what happened. So,
right.
And
now, speaking of
it's hard when someone's a star.
Right. Speaking of temperamental actors, how was it? Because how I met you was you were in an acting class that Tom Sizemore.
That's right.
And Tom Sizemore is in your movie.
Sizemore's in my movie. He might be the last movie he ever appears in.
Well, actually. See, that's the thing now, and this is as morbid as this is, and you know, God rest his soul, he recently passed away. If people
that's
don't
right.
know,
yeah,
that's actually a selling point, and that's awkward. I know.
Well, not that I would. I think if Tom were here, he'd say, "Do what you got to do."
Right, but why is he not in the trailers?
Because I didn't. The trailers were made before he was. In the movie, I have new trailers coming out with everybody in it, but you know, it's just hasn't been.
It took Andrew a long time to find the right celebrity for that part.
Because you know who's in the trailers, every trailer prominently featured. Nicole Sax.
Yay! Oh, that's great.
Yeah. He's prominently featured in all the trailers.
That's because my scene is very important. It's integral to the plot.
That's right.
Right. So tell us how you met Tom Sizemore.
Well, I met Tom in the acting class, and you know, it was billed as. Tom teaching the acting class. He didn't really teach it. There was a guy named Derek Orr,
right,
who was really the teacher.
Fantastic, yeah, really great guy.
Yeah, Derek was very good. I mean, he was very sharp. And Derek stopped going. It became more of a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom would show up once in a while. You know, it was like, man, it's Tom Sizemore.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And Tom was a very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good. He had a lot of integrity with his acting. Took it seriously. Had a lot of natural... Just a natural affability about him. I think likability is a very important thing when you're an actor.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, even as a villain,
Michael
you want to be.
Oh, yeah,
a villain,
Michael J. Fox
charming.
Is slightly more likable than Tom Sizemore, well, but.
But I mean, I've seen Tom's part in the movie. He does a really good job.
Yeah, he does a great job, and it's kind of he's sort of playing himself.
Yeah.
He's playing a celebrity who's maybe best days are behind him. Who's hustling this young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed—not young, but young to Hollywood. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, wannabe actor into this seminar. So that's kind of how he kind of suckers him, gets the gets.
Now, how was it asking him to be in the movie? I mean, that had to be.
Okay, so I tried several approaches. One is, here's my project. Here's the trailers. Yeah. You know, I'd really like you to do this. And at first, the rumor was he was willing to do free stuff for people in the class. So,
yeah.
I considered Eric Roberts. I could have afforded.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you don't get Tom Sizemore, you get Eric Roberts.
I loved all those
Eric's wife, who was his agent, never got back to.
Or Michael Madsen.
I didn't know about Michael.
Oh yeah.
But see, all three of those guys do a day on any movie.
There could have been C. Thomas Howell doing that part.
Oh wow, that's almost Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, but then he blew up all of a sudden. There was actually Martin Coe from the Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, but then he blew up again with Cobra Kai. I ended up with Tom Sizemore, and he gave me a very reasonable rate to do it, and it was, not for me, but it was still, I got a name guy in the movie doing
the
part. I needed somebody who was an established celebrity to play the part of an established celebrity.
And
it gave me a name to be in there, and then, and then he passed, which was tragic. Yeah. And I had another girl
nobody
in the
wants
movie
that.
Passed, too. Who
was yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. It was a girl named Hannah Rains, who's in one of the very first scenes. And she was actually in the first scene we shot. Nicole met her, and because we were all shooting.
Yeah, we stayed friends.
Day. And Hannah was beautiful. She was only 22.
Oh no!
And
I was going to ask if you could reshoot a scene and cut it in there, but I don't want to die. So,
well, yeah. So
I'm the goth comedian. I do dark jokes.
Mark does have a little part. He does appear in the movie.
No, I do have a little part.
He has a little part.
I was trying to get lines.
So is Tom.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but the only like movie red carpet beau-ish thing that I went to with the guy that I met at the sex club was one of Sizemore's movies. So I was like, this is a weird tour.
The last premiere I went to was the Tom Sizemore movie that he was in. It was a zombie western.
Oh, I like Western.
Oh, now I feel really let down. I feel really ripped off. I got Tom after he did a zombie Western. My God.
Yeah, Richard Grieco was in it. And he was super nice. He took a picture with me. Oh yeah, no, he was cool. And it was funny because like you could tell the experience level from Richard Grieco, and Tom Sizemore just kind of rolls in, and he's still got his like kind of East Coast sort of accent
He's a Detroit guy, actually.
Yeah. So he had this Midwest accent.
That's why he's so badass.
Yeah, he's got this Midwest accent, and he's just like in this Western movie. He's like, "Yeah, we're gonna get the zombie," and you're like, "Oh man, that's weird." Yeah. So, now what was it like filming Tom Sizemore?
Filming with Tom. Okay, so a couple little stories about Tom. I mean, the night that we were supposed to film, I was about to go pick him up an hour before. He lived over in the hills in Burbank.
Right.
And I live in Englewood. I bought a house there.
Right. Which somebody was on the Lakers, apparently.
A guy named George Lynch.
Right.
So, okay. So, anyway.
It's a great house. We'll party there.
Beautiful house.
So, I went over, and I was about to pick up Tom, and I get a text from him with a video of a fucked up toe. With a toenail ripped off of it.
Yikes.
Like, dude, I was just taking my sock off and I ripped my toenail off.
Ugh.
And I'm like, oh, fuck me.
He's
like, can we
So after you masturbate to this, what happened?
Can we postpone the shoot, he said. So I was like, I already paid everybody I got to pay everybody. They took the day. It's an hour before. It's too late to cancel. Can you make it?
Kind of like how Vanya was like, go ahead.
So, but I mean, I had, $1,500 in expenses wrapped up in the shoot, so it wasn't something I'm not.
So you had Eric Roberts on speed dial, and
I wish I did, but no.
Yeah.
So Tom, I said to him, "Hey man, like, can we just wrap it up and we'll take you to urgent care and we'll give you a couple of Advil?"
He's
like, you're
"Couple
kind of an asshole,
Advil.
Aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not."
Tom Sizemore called you an asshole.
Tom Sizemore, I got an asshole call from Tom Sizemore.
Wow.
But then I kind of dialed it back a little bit, like, "Look, I'm really sorry about your toe," and it's like
after the
fact, what can we do to make this work, kind of thing.
Wow.
So he ended up being about 2 hours late, but we got him there. I sent him an Uber and ate the $60-$70 for the Uber or whatever it was to get him there.
And oddly enough, Eric Roberts was a driver. Oh, go ahead.
Actually, it was Chadwick Boseman, but no.
Oh.
Whoa. Hey, whoa.
But, heaven.
So, we got him there, and we shot the scene, And he was a trooper. Now, every now and again, he was going to the bathroom and he would come out kind of. So, you know, he would always have new energy after that.
Right.
I don't know what that was all about.
What was he doing, I wonder?
I wonder. But, he was, no, but yeah,
he was peeing with really smelly pee, is what
he looked at the line.
I can imagine what his pee smells like.
He wasn't super prepared for the, he came but then he looked at his line and he got in there like pretty quick, got him down and he nailed the scene and we did it in good time and from all the angles and he ad-libbed a little bit. He did, he just knocked the ball out of the park. He was great.
Yeah, his scene's great.
Yeah, I heard that. We had another guest and he was in his movie and he said that he ad-libbed and it was fantastic.
Who was the guest you had in?
Harley Wallen.
Okay.
Harley Wallen, who...
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Harley?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time was when we had him on the show. I saw him at a couple premieres.
He was in a movie. Well, I don't know if that movie will ever get finished, but there was a guy in the acting club named Trevor Sims.
Mm-hmm.
He's a talented guy.
Absolutely.
And Trevor was making some kind of street fighting homeless guy movie, and Tom was in that.
Right.
And I don't know if it ever got finished, but I'd like to see it finished because I saw some of it, and it looked pretty cool.
And speaking of acting.
Did you guys all meet in acting class?
Well, I was going to say. Speaking of acting classes, I mean, you've been top of the line. Groundling, Stella Adler, you've been to all sorts of acting classes, right?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm complaining.
No, I'm sorry. I'm like sweaty and my nipples out. I'm sorry.
I saw a little nip.
Blonde girls, black girls, double your pleasure. What?
Yeah, so basically what at the end of...
From a woman that doesn't even care for sex anymore. Only real sex, love sex. Right. And love sex is the best sex.
So what's going to happen...
After you get that, you don't want anything.
What's going to happen is that after the show, Andrew's going to ask you... Or actually tell you... No, but he's going to say... He's going to say, bitch, put your number in my phone.
Come on, girl. I get you some water.
And then you're going to put... 1-800-PARTY-LINE.
PARTY-LINE, you wish.
Yeah. But anyway, you were saying Stella Adler, Groundlings, you've been to the top of the line.
And
you were in the
Ruskin.
Theater.
I'm a theater kid. DC.
Yeah.
Definitely a theater kid.
Hey, wait a sec. I got to draw attention to this. Vodka has migrated.
I know.
Well, because
migrated.
I didn't want to bother you with
the
it.
The vodka has migrated.
I didn't want to bother you. I look over at her and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Here, go on.
And by the way, if you like vodka, you're going to love Renegade CBD. Renegade CBD has great CBD products.
Renegade CBD.
Renegade CBD.
It didn't give me a hangover.
Nicole will tell you, the CBD is very relaxing. The bath bombs are fantastic.
Let's see what
I have. CBD bath bombs.
Yes. They have white chocolate. They have gummies. Go to RenegadeCBD.com for all your CBD
needs.
Straight
up edibles, just like.
Well, you'll love Renegade CBD. So anyway, tell us about your. We're almost wrapping up. But tell us about.
$11.49.
He was talking about the price for the vodka.
$11.49 for a double sized thing of vodka.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have a headache tomorrow.
From the sky.
Right.
Yeah, you're gonna have a headache tomorrow.
I'm glad that you price checked my purchase of vodka. That's very nice of you.
Right.
Well, I would think my appearance at least worth some goose or something like that.
Right. Let's put it this way.
Look the gift vodka in the mouth.
I should be bringing you the vodka.
Let's put it this way. I spend as much on the vodka and orange juice as you spend on Tom Sizemore's Uber. So go ahead. Now, tell us about your theater experience and how that informs your comedy. Because we haven't even talked about comedy, and that's because when I have comedians on, I like them to be interesting besides comedy. And
comedy is a release because we're all fucked up. Theater. I'm a theater kid. That's,
You're a black nerd.
Oh, 100%.
And that's
100%.
And that's
blurred, I think, is
and
the
that's
correct.
So, see, you were a nerd.
That's why, yeah.
You were a nerd when nerds were actual nerds. Yeah, not cool.
It wasn't cool anymore.
When they were bullied, not the bully.
Exactly. That's why I think guys get confused when they're trying to hit on me because I don't like who's hitting on me. I'm like, yeah, I'm not into that. I've got muscles. I've got this. I'm like, yeah. So,
by the way, you knew Andrew was going to flex when you did.
I'm hiding them.
Right.
He's hiding.
Not that I don't like them. I like men and women that take care of themselves because that shows me how you feel about yourself.
So if I abuse myself for 30 years, that doesn't really go very far.
Well, it just shows me how you feel about yourself. Like if you're taking care of your outer appearance, that means you care a lot about yourself. And, I like. So that's all that means to me, not just
right. If you're a former child star and now you're giving people towels in a swingers club, maybe you made some bad life choices.
And yet I did fuck that guy.
Yes. But, because he was a nerd. And he played a nerd in movies.
Oh, yeah. It was because he was nerdy.
He was super nerdy.
I get it.
Because you and Nicole kind of have this in common. And this is.
I won't even look at their photos. Yeah. I won't even look at their photos.
Yeah, I was way too alpha for Nicole. She was like, "You're too alpha for me." You know.
I think there were other problems.
I said, "You're too much man for me." That's what I said.
And she gave me the same exact line. That's her line.
That's her thing.
Yeah. That's her line.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I wonder.
And by the way, you think that's like ego boosting, and it's so not. But go ahead.
We don't care what the reason is.
Interesting.
But I mean it too, because like the guy that I'm talking to on Tinder right now, super geeky. Redhead.
Actually, when I saw the guys that she ends up going for, I don't feel so bad. It's like, you know, it's like, oh,
it's a
what kind of guy do you like? I know you like women better.
Thing. Yeah. It is an alpha woman thing.
Because that's right. The thing.
Yeah, it's an alpha woman thing. You attract.
I like betas. What? I used to date alphas, and I'm like, I like betas now.
I'm a master beta.
This one.
Yeah, it's only been an hour and a half, but that's one. But behind you.
Yeah, I don't.
So you like nerdy guys?
100%.
Like you go to a Comic Con, you just.
I feel so hot. Every guy I've had a serious relationship with had toys and in boxes and
And not that kind of toys, like Iron Man action
figures.
Action figure.
They're action figure guys. They're
now.
Like,
what was the nerdiest thing in your youth? Because I know that you were
writing.
Did you play Dungeons and Dragons? I know you wrote poetry and all that.
No, I just did a lot of writing by myself.
You did a lot of writing by
yourself. And then I started rapping, and then I went to the slam poetry scene.
Right.
And then obviously acting,
which was kind of cool nerdy stuff.
Very nerdy. It's a very nerdy environment. A lot of Howard University kids are there.
How was it being a black kid in a poetry slam in Washington, D.C., right by Howard University?
Felt pretty badass.
Yeah.
Felt pretty badass.
Were you accepted?
All of my poetry was comedy.
Right.
And so that was different.
Because I used to do poetry slams. It was the same, similar thing. Like mine would be funny stuff. And I used to goof on the whole poetry slam, format, it's all about repetition. Let me repeat that.
We talked about that. I feel like I'm as
thank you. Thank you for stepping on. Thank you for stepping on my joke, Andrew. Oh. It's all about repetition. Let me repeat that. It's all about repetition. That type of thing. So yeah.
Well, I like to kind of, I don't know, just be human, just to be energy, just kind of.
Well, there's a lot of energy in this room. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling less like. Like a woman or a race or a whatever, and just more like, what's everybody doing? Just more like energy. Yeah, I've definitely become that person for sure. I mean,
right. And Nicole, have you noticed how Andrew's inch closer to Vanya as the show has gone on?
Actually, I raised my chair.
I bet you did.
I realized I could make myself taller.
But you're doing it wrong because she likes Michael J. Fox.
As I said, I'm an energy person.
I understand.
But Michael J. Fox,
great energy.
She strikes me as being someone who likes genuine. So if I pretend to be something I'm not, it wouldn't work.
Don't fake it until you make it with Vanya.
Well, because you can't have authenticity, and I like authenticity, and I like honesty, no matter how weird that honesty looks or sounds, because that's brave.
Right.
Because nobody's being honest. Everybody's like, I'm this. What is your real story and who are you?
And here's part of your real story. And this is going to intrigue Nicole. Because you on YouTube had a series, Comedians in Condos with Cats.
Oh,
now, how many cats do you have?
Just two.
Just two?
I have one.
You do too?
Yeah.
Oh, I love them so much.
I can't wait to go home and see him. I haven't seen him in 12 hours.
I think about them when I'm at work sometimes. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I love dogs too.
I have a dog. I have Mishka.
Mishka's a sweetheart.
I share custody with my ex-wife with Mishka.
Oh, so you share custody of your dog?
Yes. What's Mishka? What kind of dog?
She's a Havanese mix with a toy poodle. She's a tiny little thing. She's about this big. She's 10 pounds, and she's so sweet. She's so nice.
She's furry, nice.
And Nicole's cat is Trouble.
Yeah, my cat's Trouble.
His name is Trouble.
He's white. He's very cute.
Oh my god! I can't do the face up because the time is over. I love little monkeys.
And what are your cats' names?
Leo and Pepper.
Those are good cats.
Leonardo DiCatio was a full name. And Sergeant Pepper.
And Sergeant Pepper. Okay.
I accidentally got your message.
Right.
Look at this little cutie.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Was that the cat, or did you swipe on a dick pic?
For a long time.
3 years. 3 years. My old roommate had him, and she neglected him. And then she called me one day.
She nursed him back to health.
Yeah. She's like, he's sick, and I don't want to pay the vet bills. So I took the cat back, and I even got a second job to pay his bills.
Of course you would.
We should start a GoFundMe for your cat, I think.
I would feel uncomfortable doing that.
I wouldn't. I would take the money anyway.
But I'm working hard to make sure Trouble remains in good health.
Right. Andrew, if you're so concerned, you can get another tarot reading.
Actually does give me a tarot reading every so often. We haven't had one in a while.
I'll do another one for you. Yeah. I know you do free, that though, too? Because Andrew sometimes buys me dinner or drinks.
Yeah, I always miss Nicole.
Sometimes. Nicole. Nicole does tarot card readings.
I'm always a gentleman.
Is there something you want to know about your future? Maybe she'll pick it up.
I think I like being surprised.
I'm going to tell a sad story.
Tell it.
This is the shitty thing about tarot cards. Okay, so I did a tarot reading for a woman, and it told her she was going to be spending a lot of time with her family. And then her son died, and now she's spending a lot of time with her family.
Yeah,
that is fucked up. So I haven't done a tarot reading.
Wait a second.
Oh, really?
You picked up that she's going to spend a lot of time with her family after her son died?
No, the son died after. The son died the very next day.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're going to inherit. You're going to have a lot of money, and then your mom dies, and you have this big insurance policy you didn't know about.
I would have expected, if the tarot cards were working the way they're supposed to, they would have showed me the Tower card, which would say there's going to be a traumatic event in your life.
Ooh.
But it just said you're going to spend a lot of time with your family. That's literally what the reading said. I'm like, and so I still do tarot readings, but I've become a little skeptical of tarot ever since then.
Well, you realize that the last reading you gave me, which was on the air, you said that I had a chance with a porn star and I was going to be dating her.
I don't even remember that. So
I do.
You just made that up.
No, I did not.
We always remember anything a woman tells us about a porn star.
No, I did not. There was a porn star that we were flirting, and I got her number.
Tarot cards are rarely that specific.
No, we went on a date.
That is very specific. Hit this. That is very specific.
No, I said, do I have a chance with this woman? And he said, I see it. I see something happen. And what happened the next month? Global pandemic. Hmm.
Maybe you meant like porn stars on like YouPorn.
That's the thing. I think she misread it, and I ended up jerking off to a lot of porn.
Yeah, so, you would be jerking off to a lot.
But
you have a lot of sex with yourself.
Well, exactly. I remember I did a reading for Andrew that said there'd be a strong woman in his life, and I don't know if that's your girlfriend or not, but your girlfriend is a strong woman.
Or it could be Nicole herself.
No.
Well, you're a strong woman.
Well.
Andrew is like the entire opposite of. I mean, if you're too much man for me, of course Andrew's too much man.
You're in his life and you're friends.
My girlfriend, her name is Daniela. She's Romanian, and she's kind of like.
Very strong.
She's very strong. Like if.
Interesting.
If I tell her something that bothers her, like I was like, "Does it bother you?" She's like, "Yes, do it again, and I'll cut your fucking balls off."
I think she's a good match for you.
Yeah, that's hot. It's kind of cool. She's really beautiful.
That's two alphas, though.
We're definitely two alphas. I'm a Gemini. She's a Pisces.
Well, I don't know what that means.
What's that all mean?
Right.
I know a couple who's a Gemini and a Pisces who have twin son and daughter. So it can work.
Serial killers or no?
Right.
No, the kids are really wonderful. Very attractive.
Okay, that's good. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we're going off the rails. We're going to get back to you.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like my best match was, I'm Capricorn. My best match was Cancer.
Right.
And we were together for like 8 years. He's a Korean guy and just super like, always. He was a pothead before I was into weed at all.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was a new thing.
Yeah, to me, I was just, I guess I wasn't in the religion anymore, but still in the back of my head, there was probably still some of that residue.
But that's nature. That's a plant. That's a God-given creation.
I was just an idiot. As soon as we broke up, and I was like, I should try some of that. And I realized how great it was. I was like, God damn it.
So
I could have been getting high all this time.
And here you are. And
what a loser I was.
And you're in the right industry because, being a comedian, you can go weed every night.
Absolutely. I've had some of my best.
I never smoke and be funny, though. It's like if I was.
Oh, there's a lot of people that do it.
What do I talk about?
Yeah.
I mean, we
I've
mean,
had some my,
thinking about.
We've had Tommy Chong on the show a couple times, so there's people that they can't do it.
Yeah, man, like, you know, like, wow, you know.
It depends. If you hit the stage right when you're peaking.
Yeah, you can get on a roll.
You're such a bad. See, my act outs are so much better. Like,
I'm so the opposite. I can't. Really? I can't even have a half a beer. I can't have any substance.
Oh, now I like to do sober. I mean, I got to do a show in Palm Springs tomorrow, and it's going to be a sober
show. Oh, wow.
Show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see that.
Yeah, and I'm going to be sober.
Best comedy I ever did, I dropped acid, I think.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of interesting.
Interesting right. How?
Well, I was up for like 13 hours before I went on, and I was just
oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you went on stage for 13 hours.
No,
I know
no,
you
I was
people
on stage
run the
for
line.
About 3 minutes. I did about a 3 minute set because I'm like, you know, the only thing less than my sex time is my comedy. So it's. But
what a brag. Humble brag.
It's self-deprecation is my thing. You know, it's kind of it's a good tactic for a comedian. If you're able to bag on yourself, then, you know, it works.
Gains crowd sympathy.
You know?
No, not anymore. Everybody's young and hot doing comedy now. But regardless of comedy.
Like, you're going to hold it.
Tell us about Fake It Till You Make It. Now, okay. The festival season is here. Are you hitting any festivals?
I'm not that far yet because right now we're trying to get picture lock because mm-hmm. my movie's running too long.
Right.
It's running about 2.5 hours. So right. I have to
kind of like
down.
This podcast.
No, I'm killing my babies. I'm chopping out stuff I like to make it fit and to make the
movie
better.
Like Nicole.
Repetitive stuff. No, Nicole stays. But
that scene is integral to the plot.
I know.
It is.
Your film is 2.5 hours. So you have to cut an hour.
We have to cut about 15 minutes. So.
Oh no! You have to cut an hour.
We're not cutting an hour.
This is not going to be. Well, this happen. Is like The Irishman. Don't do this.
We got to. It is.
Wait,
what it
the movie's
is.
Two and a half hours
stories.
Right now.
2.5 hours. We're cutting about 15 minutes out of it.
Okay.
So it'll be 2:15, 2:10, 2:15
for a comedy.
For a comedy. Well, it's funny. It's funny and it's a good.
I'm not
story.
Saying it's not.
It's a dramedy. So
that's life.
It's a romantic dramedy.
Yeah, right. It is.
So
right.
But so you can have. I mean, Wedding Crashers was 2:10, 2:12, something like that. I'll be around that.
Okay.
Spot. So you know it'll be fine.
All right.
And if the film festivals don't like them, fuck them. You know what I mean?
They also won't be watching this.
Yeah.
No, but as I said,
right
you
now.
Do have, I mean, you have, first off, it's the eternal story, and it's a story that we see every day, the four of us, people coming to Hollywood to make it.
Yeah.
It really is an in-depth look at, that I don't think has ever been done before. It's a very candid look at what's really there and from very innocent eyes of somebody coming in and trying to make it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
and you realize there was a Fake It Till You Make It YouTube series.
I didn't. I don't pay attention to what anybody else does, but I did have to. Fine. I did look it up on IMDb, and I had to change the name to read Fake It Till You Make It.
But that's good because you got the acronym.
Fitumi, yes.
Because you got the acronym.
Fitumi. So, but back to Tom Sizemore, I wanted to add something that we didn't get to. I ended up at the end of that night giving him a ride home.
Mm-hmm.
And found out he was from Detroit and a baseball fan.
Yeah.
So my last conversation with Tom was about 1970s Detroit Tigers players.
Right.
That was a pretty wild thing. My dad was a Detroit Tigers fan. He'd never in Motown in his life. And he grew up in Brooklyn, and he always liked the Tigers because I guess they had a Jewish star named Hank Greenberg that was like his idol. So, and I think that's how it got started. But anyway, I knew all the Tigers stuff because of my dad. And I'm talking to Tom Sizemore about Detroit Tigers baseball from the 70s. Now, how fucking cool is that?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Just a few years ago,
only
back
in Hollywood.
New Jersey, like, you know, like watching TV, like watching Saving Private Ryan when I was Tom Sizemore.
Right.
And then I'm talking Detroit Tigers baseball.
It's so wild.
It's pretty
That's
cool.
How life
Rockwell's
is.
Rockwell's bumming money off me.
Right? LA
you
is that kind of wild ride.
Exactly.
You know, you ever been to one party and all of a sudden you start talking to people and then you're like, yeah, I'll go to your, and then you're in their car and then you're now going to another party. I've ended up at random. No. Oh,
no,
okay.
That's
but you end
thing.
Up at random people's houses and you're like, these people are cool. I should probably get my Uber now, though. You know, it's just...
No, I understand, yeah.
Right?
The first time I got published was for an anthology called Womanthology, and then that led to a job with John Carpenter. Hollywood happens fast.
Wow.
Another
so
humble brag.
You're always like
that's
that
so, I
one
love
degree
John
of
Carpenter.
Separation
yeah.
from that,
absolutely.
Like... that person who can help you here in Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
It's very interesting. It's like, I you know...
Yeah.
So, you know, I was on that podcast with Elisa Jordana.
Right. That's and the other thing, because we had Elisa Jordana on the show, yeah, who was on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And she was engaged to Andy Dick.
Yes.
And I never quite figured that whole thing out. It's like, supposedly he's like gay or something. I don't know. But anyway.
He definitely hit on my male date.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean.
At least he's not one of those trans.
I know. But I mean, hey, I was like, hey, I'm on a show with a hot chick. I was engaged to Andy Dick. I'm like, hey.
Man, right.
My name's Andy and I have a dick.
Right. And you tried to weasel your way to be her co-host, and that didn't quite work out, did it?
She moved to Palm Springs after
that. Is
that
what happened? Yeah.
Yeah, she like left. I mean,
Florida.
Either be my co-host or move.
So wait a second. So you were on her show.
I was on her show.
And then she moved to Florida.
I think it was the last show she did here.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
That would do it.
You can't top
people out of town.
You can't top having Andrew P.C. Yevish on your show. Now tell everybody about the movie. And to look out for it and to go on your YouTube page and anything you want to promote and how people get a hold of you.
I'm terrible at promoting things, so I leave that to other people. I'm the creative.
Would you like me to do the spot?
Yes.
No.
But I'm terrible at actually creating like content other than the actual movie, because it comes from the heart. Fake it till you make it's really not about faking it. It's really about it being something very genuine. It's about doing the best you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. It's got some historical significance because it took place during the movie takes place during 2020, mm-hmm, where the COVID epidemic plays a big part.
Which was not intentional. It just happened.
But yeah. I wrote.
But it happened during the movie. Wow, during the movie.
Happened during the movie, and we had and I wrote it into the plot, and mm-hmm, it was one of the obstacles that the main character has to overcome.
Right.
And I'll tell you one thing. I have about almost 100 people in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And most people knocked the ball out of the park. And there were a lot of people I wanted to use and, that would have made the movie even longer. But and we read and had things written that will probably try to put in the sequel. But we had a lot of people contributing, and I just feel really blessed to have had such an experience. Just a few years ago, I was in Jersey. I was in a marriage that was ending. I was feeling invisible, and now I'm in Hollywood, and I actually made a movie with Rockwell and with Tom Sizemore, and
which would be more impressive if we didn't have to continuously explain who Rockwell is. But
no Motown, no Rockwell. So
yeah, Andrew, it's you are a star. And I can't wait for the movie to come out. Well, no, I'm more of a star, but I can't wait for this movie to come out. I think it's going to be great. And I think I've seen some scenes. I think it's fantastic, especially my little cameo. But and Nicole
might get cut, by the way.
Well, go right ahead.
Cut right to the seminar.
That's fine. That's fine.
I have pictures of you in there, but yeah.
Well, trust me. If you keep it in, I think the box office will go big. But follow Andrew P.C. Yevich. YEVISH on Facebook. You got an Instagram?
My Instagram's Andrew Yevish. I'm not very
Andrew Yevish. He's not PC on there. And go to your YouTube page, and you can see the trailers. You can see videos, and you can see that sweet cowboy hat.
And you can see, and you want the story behind the cowboy hat?
We have to go ahead. We're at hour 43 now, but go right ahead.
Actually, the cowboy hat that Tom Sizemore wore in the movie.
Aww.
Oh wow! Okay.
So there were two cowboy hats. There's the one that I wore that I bought in Arizona on my way out to LA. That was the magic hat in the movie.
Okay.
The hat plays a role.
Right.
This isn't the one. The one I had kind of got beat because I worked for 3 years. But this is the one that I bought for Tom Sizemore because the way he introduced himself was, "Hey, that's a nice hat." He's wearing the similar hat.
Right.
So. That's why I wore it tonight. I wanted to plug the hat into the show a little bit.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you did. But before I get to Vanya, could you take off the hat, please?
Sure. Yeah, I have a bald head, and I'm
I love that.
Too.
Well, the thing about your look is great because I shaved my head bald because I had my friend Ryan Tomo had cancer, so I shaved the head bald as sympathy.
Ryan.
But I had the goatee.
Yeah.
So I had that look. But I love the full beard with the bald head because it's like, okay, I can grow hair up to my ears, and that's it.
Well, you know what's funny?
Put the hat on because you got the line.
I got the line. Yeah, it's probably a little sweaty. Yeah, but I used to actually grow a goatee, and I grew the beard in when I came here. Mm-hmm. Did I have the beard when I got here already?
I don't remember.
I think I had the full beard.
It's been a lot of
But I grew it like literally right before I got here.
Right.
I had a goatee and I had the bald head. But every fucking bald guy has a goatee, so I wanted to do something a little different. So I grew it in. And I thought it looked pretty good.
Definitely your distinct look.
Yeah, and I kind of like have the George Michael thing kind of going on while
it's
I have.
Very, you know, chiseled.
It's kind of.
Yeah, it's very well done.
A little something going on.
Right.
It's very taken care of.
Right.
Does every bald guy have a goatee?
A lot of them do, but anyway, I wouldn't describe it as George Michael, but I do admire the the tight beard, because I can't do that. So, but
I
we really
the guy who drew in a beard,
right? No,
well, I use a little bit of brush in to make it.
Just for Men is not a sponsor. Yeah. Let's get
you
off that.
A lot
but
of makeup,
I don't do Just for Men. I actually use the one.
All right. So anyway, so Andrew. You're sweaty. Vanya's sweaty, but Vanya.
I am a little. Sweaty. Am I sweaty? Oh my God! Is this still
right?
No,
when I saw you do comedy,
I did have sex with a.
You did have sex with what?
Okay. Well, speaking of like
one
LA
more
and,
one more sex story.
Okay.
Vanya.
Okay. Well, speaking of LA and what you can fall into. Never mind. I was thinking about that. I got drunk. Okay. So what was that? What was that show about DC where the guy was in politics and he was the guy from
DC Cab? I don't know.
Tucker Carlson. What are you talking about?
No, it was a show on like Netflix.
House of Cards.
So I went. You fuck Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey wouldn't be interested in me.
No, he'd be interested in Andrew.
He'd probably be interested in me.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I fucked someone from his entourage. Which is
not too
producer.
Much man for him.
No, I said you were too much man for Kevin Spacey. Please follow along.
I think so, right?
So you fucked a guy from House of Cards.
Well, no, the producer of that show. So
oh, wow.
That guy, he was...
Good catch.
What's your number?
Stop it, Anna.
Right. I want to know. I want somebody with 10 times me here.
Right.
You know, it's like,
no. Oh, God. Oh, no. Well,
you just out-alphaed Andrew. So you fucked the producer of House of Cards.
It was at one of those Hollywood party things, and I think it was just... I came in to meet my friends, and they were like, hey, we're at this party. You got to come over. And I was already ecstasy by the time I walked in. And they were like, are you here to see? And they said the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Dana. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Dana is, but I'm here to see my friend. And the guy was like, oh, you're invited in. Like, you got to come in. Right. And I hung out with my friends and I was there. I got everybody naked but I was super happy and fun. And I think that they liked
you,
it. Anyway.
You are super Dana, happy, fun,
I'm
beautiful.
Not that, that's what I'm saying. I'm not that anymore. I mean, I'm those things, but I don't.
Right. Well, the night is still young, Vanya. Vanya, tell everybody, because I love your website. It's great. I don't know who to design your website.
I did.
Can you design my website?
You need a website done?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But tell us all your links.
Yeah, those. I'm also in marketing. That's my other gig.
Tell us all your links and what you got going on.
Let's see. I'll be in
You'll be in Palm Springs tomorrow.
I'll be in Palm Springs tomorrow with some great performers from the San Diego area. Actually, it seems like they're super involved with the American Comedy Club in San Diego.
Okay.
And then... And you can catch me on other shows. I know. I'm just like, at this point, I should have my list.
VanyaRenee.com.
Thank you.
VanjaA. It's not Uncle Vanya, which I'm sure you performed. VanjaA.
Okay.
R-E-N-E-E.
Okay, check off. Okay, yeah. VanyaRenee.com. Then also my Instagram is VanyaRenee. And then also my Facebook, which I barely ever go to, is VanyaRenee.
Right. Yeah, because that's for
nobody
people.
Nobody uses Facebook anymore, and I'm a stockholder, so I shouldn't say that.
Right.
People are using it. I just...
No. It's
all...
No, my grandmother's
they're
just...
They're all boomers.
My grandmother, and happy birthday, grandmother, just turned 100 years old. She has a Facebook page. That's the
that's where they're getting their news.
I do my best writing on my Facebook page, and nobody reads it.
Right. I read it, and you got to stop, really. You got to stop. You gotta stop. It's too much.
It's a lot of
much TMI. No, it is, but
too much.
Write, journal it. Don't put it on Facebook.
Journal it.
If nobody reads it, it's not worth it.
Well, nobody reads it if you put it on Facebook anyway.
Yeah.
Vanya, you are a poet, and
yes.
You should read Nicole's new poetry book and tell us every
I love
how to
that.
Get that and
so
how...
Slow Burn's doing Slow pretty Burn. Well. It's gotten some reviews.
Yeah,
it's
I wish you would set it in the microphone so people can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Slow Burn's doing pretty well, but if you'd like to check out my poetry, you can follow me on @Nicole6Books on Instagram or NicoleH6 on Facebook, and then the link is in the bio.
So, I love it very much.
So, Grandma, follow Nicole on Facebook. And
it turns.
And I am Goth Comedian on all social media, everybody. Have a wonderfully creepy week. We had such a great time. What energy in the room. Bye.